You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Merry Christmas to you all. As promised, we are here on this wonderful Friday. Christmas miracle. Wasn't supposed to snow. I'd been checking the forecast. Looked like we were going to have, at least up here in Michigan, looked like we were going to have a gray Christmas. In the sense of it didn't look like we were going to have any snow on the ground. And then after midnight here in Ann Arbor, it started snowing, and it's still kind of snowing a little bit. Said it was just going to be no precipitation, according to Weather Channel and all that. So awesome that if it's going to be cold, might as well snow, especially at Christmas Day. Christmas miracle. Anyway, we are going to, on Christmas Day, we're going to talk a little bit here about that Rivals Factor fiction that I wrote about, where it said Don Brown was not the problem in Ann Arbor. I'm going to explain in more detail why I think that's incomplete. I don't think that there's going to be much of a pushback from any of you who are listening. I got one message from a good friend and a prominent former Wolverine who was not happy with Michigan accepting a commitment from Connor Jones. He's a three-star. They got a three-star defensive tackle last week in Devontae Miles. I'm going to tell you why this is like a constant, like a quarterly disclaimer, why you shouldn't be worrying about the rankings or, you know, commitments and things of that nature at this juncture. And I've got some hard data, not as much as I wanted, but I got some hard data to be able to back it up. And then we'll finish it off with just me talking a little bit about bowl games, because normally I would either be on location or preparing to be on location, and there's no bowl game. So I'm going to kind of tell you what I've been to four, I believe. So I'm going to tell you maybe five. Maybe I'm forgetting one. We'll tell you a little bit about each of them and what I liked, maybe what I didn't like as from my perspective in the medium. Anyway, all right. So I love Adam Gorney and Mike Farrell. I really do. But they came up with a fact or fiction thing here. Like they do a couple times a week, where they roll through a couple different scenarios, and they say, hey, this is fact, this is fiction, blah, blah, blah. So for their fact and fiction, they asked, Don Brown was the problem at Michigan. They both said fiction. Mike Farrell said, I still blame the offense. It's been boring and ineffective since Jim Harbaugh took over, and the lack of consistency puts more pressure on the defense. Brown didn't adapt his defense to personnel as much as people would have liked, but he is who he is, and so is Harbaugh. Look at the offense here. Gorney says, fiction. I broke down each of Michigan's losses during Brown's 5 years as defensive coordinator, and I've come to the conclusion he was absolutely not the problem in the Wolverine struggles, but is now the fall guy for all of Michigan's issues. There were 19 losses in Brown's tenure, and with eight of them by a touchdown or less. In many others, Michigan's offense could not get going, and the Wolverines' defense could only hold up for so long. This last season was a struggle, though. Giving up 49 to a bad Wisconsin offense, losing to Michigan State, was inexcusable. Brown is a fantastic football coach who could only do so much. The offense remains the issue in Ann Arbor without question. That is 100% incomplete. Has the offense also been an issue? Yes. But when he says that Michigan's offense was the issue, that, you know, hey, the defense held them off, but the offense just couldn't get going, that doesn't exactly tell, you know, like you look at Penn State last year. Michigan lost that by a touchdown. And why did it lose that game? Because the offense was great for three quarters and the defense was bad for two. Unfortunately, the defense being bad for two was at the start of the game. And the offense picking it up was at the end of the game. So there's that. Wisconsin last year, the offense started kind of getting something going in the second half after the defense was not good at all. Ohio State, the last couple years. Now, offensively, Michigan did stall out against Ohio State last year, but it was one of those things where it was like you were going to have to score every single time because you knew the defense could not stop them. 2018, again, the defense could not stop Ohio State. That's when the issue started, right? It wasn't, we're not talking like, yeah, 2016, what's your issue, Don Brown? 2017. No. We're not even talking 2018 for the most part. We're talking from that Ohio State game in 2018 forward. Because you look at the games that they had after that. The defense did its job against Middle Tennessee and Army in 2019. Well, like, not even talking about Florida, which was a debacle on both sides. And yeah, that's the case sometimes. There's a debacle on both sides. But you look at Middle Tennessee and Army and Iowa and some other games. Yeah, the defense was great. Offense could have done more, should have done more. But you look at the losses since, you know, from that Ohio State game forward, the defense was just like, hey, you want points? Let me usher you right here into the end zone. This last year, like he admits, was a full-on debacle. But it started last year. Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State. They actually did a really good job against Alabama. But I think, again, if you lose the two games you lose to Ohio State the way you did, because if you score 39 points and 27 points against Ohio State, that game should either be a win or it should be close. Not what a blowout when you scored 39 points in 2018. Has the offense had its issues? It absolutely has. But I still think that the defense right now has been moving backwards, and you got to figure out a way to move it forwards. And it looks like you're going to get a new guy. After I've been saying forever that in the case of the last two Ohio State games, Don Brown, you could have made a case for firing after 2018, which I thought would have been a huge overreaction. But after 2019, you lose that way again, to me, that's a fireable offense in and of itself. Again, the offense put up 27 points. What was the final in the 2016 game? 30-27 in double overtime. I mean, usually those games, sometimes they're high scoring, but usually if you can manage to get 27 points in a game, if you have the kind of defense Don Brown usually had in a lot of these big games, usually that equals a win. And in most games, that equals a win. So you gotta look at it and say that hasn't been working. All right. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How would you like to hit that reset button and get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, especially a day like today with a million pressing social issues and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to chill, turn off, and hit reset. That's when you reach for that Coors Light because it's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. That's Coors Light. I can tell you plenty of holiday I would reach for a Coors Light. It was my beer of choice back when I drank. It is still the light beer of choice for a lot of people in my family. I guarantee you that is the beer that is in my aunt and uncle's fridge. I'm sure there will be a smattering of IPAs and things like that, but when it comes down to it, the light beer that you're going to see most of my cousins and family drinking today, it's going to be Coors Light. It's a mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. Literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It's perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the one that I used to choose when I needed to unwind. So when you need to hit that reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Let me also tell you about one other thing. Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I've been a big Built Bar fan for a very long time. I put my money where my mouth is. I've bought, I don't even know how many boxes, a lot. I've told you about how my roommate tore through my limited edition box of strawberry. He immediately bought another box of different flavors since strawberry wasn't available. Most recently, I got the maple pecan, which I bought. Brandon Justice and I bought it on air here on the show. That's how much we love Built Bar. It tastes like a candy bar. It's low calories, low carb, high protein. And it's not gritty, no bad aftertaste. You don't need a bottle of water to wash it down. I'm telling you, go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code Locked On, get 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, Locked On is the promo code, 20% off your next order. Wow, we really couldn't get through that for a second. All right, so Michigan got a commitment last night from a guy named Connor Jones from Monument, Colorado. He's an offensive tackle. He's 6'7", 285. So he's what you're looking for. But people see rated 774 in the country. That's the video for me pulling up my article. 774 in the country, number 78 offensive tackle, and they're like, wait, what? What's with these three stars? Stop. Now listen, is he a five-star prospect? No, he's not a five. Chances are he's not going to end up a five-star prospect. But if you sit there and look at, you know, where that is today, he's a 2022 kid. That means signing day is a year away for him. I was able to go back. 24/7 has their database of past rankings. It kind of falters at some point, like when you go back to like 2017, when you start looking at past rankings, they all just kind of become the same. They might show the date that they did a re-rank, but there's some guys I know, like I looked at Devin Bush and I was like, I know that he was lower ranked at some point, but it just all ends up being the same. But at this time in their recruitment, there's some wild variances here. Xavier Worthy, you think about him as being like, man, he was a must-get. Alabama wanted him, almost went to Alabama. You were able to keep him away from Alabama. He's, you know, just outside of the top 100, if my memory serves. He was ranked number 844 in the country at this time last year. Going back 2 years ago, looking at a couple prospects, Braden McGregor, who ended up being a higher rated four-star, the number one guy in that class, him and A.J. Henning, depending on the service you're looking at. I still think it was a four-star. He was 322. He rose a couple hundred rankings since this time last year. His classmate, guy that saw a ton of play, got the first play, I believe, of the season this year, Roman Wilson. True freshman, four-star out of Hawaii. I know he was like number 300. He was outside of the top 247, 24/7. Why did I say 247? It's always 24/7. Anyway, he was number 800 in the country. Trente Jones rose a couple hundred spots up to four-star status. He was 406 at this time in his recruitment. Cornelius Johnson, a highly thought of wide receiver. I believe he was like 175 in the country. 690. And I think the most obvious one here, if you're looking for offensive line, you're looking for a guy who, you know is probably going to be a first or second round draft pick, at this time in his recruitment, Jalen Mayfield, who ended up being a four-star, was 843 in the country. So I didn't see a lot of social media stuff, but like people obviously aren't as excited as they would be as if this was a four-star or a five-star. You know, it wasn't like when J.J. McCarthy committed. And yeah, McCarthy committed, you know, at this point he had been committed for 8 months or whatever. But listen, when it comes to these three stars that are committing, maybe they stay three stars. Maybe they rise up in the four stars. They haven't had the same kind of evaluations. Number one, there haven't been camps. Number two, we don't know if there will be camps. If there's camps that they can go to, you know, the opening regionals and things of that nature, where the people who do the rankings can go out and see them, then those things might change. But it's really no reason to sit there and flip out about where guys rank now, where guys rank 6 months from now. What matters is where guys rank about a year from now, right? Where do they finish, not where do they start? Remember, at one point in time, Kareem Walker was the number one player in the country. Committed to Ohio State during the national championship game. He was like, look, Michigan flips him. But eventually, by the time he signed, yeah, he was a four-star, but he wasn't that high-end five-star that he was thought of I mean, he might not have been number one in the country, but he was the number one running back in the country. I'll have to look that up. But he was really, really highly, highly thought of. So this has him as a 3-star. This can't be right. I'm trying to see here. Yeah, see, this is just all messed up because this makes it look like he was a 3-star forever. He wasn't. But when he committed to Ohio State, he was very, very highly ranked. So that tells you everything you kind of need to know when it comes to recruiting rankings at times. So anyway, don't flip out about it. All right, let's move on. Let's talk some bowl games. I'll tell you just a little bit. I don't have any stories lined up, but I figured we'll get to it. We'll see how that works. Are we ready for some football? College football is heading into bowl season. There's some big matchups coming up this week, and NFL regular season is finishing up. The playoff picture is becoming clear, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You look at college football, there's plenty of games coming up. We just recently had BYU taking down reigning perennial national champion UCF. I know they're not really. But tomorrow we got Louisiana, UTSA. This one's going to be a sneaky good one tomorrow. Liberty and Coastal Carolina. 9-1 Liberty versus 11-0 Coastal Carolina. Then you wait a couple days. Oklahoma State, Miami. That could be really interesting. About a little less than a week from now, you got Florida, Oklahoma. So many different good games out there. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right. So, bowl games. I'm really sad that I am not getting to go to one. I'm sad for the players that they don't get to go to one. It's one of my favorite things that happens every year. It's funny because it's such a grind usually, right? Because you go and you're like, you're working the entire time, but you're on location somewhere. And it feels like a huge grind until, like, when it's over, it's one of those things where it's like, man, I had so much fun. For me, the best one, as far as my personal level of fun factor, was last year against Alabama for multiple reasons. Number one, first and foremost, Anthony Broom from Mason Brew and I went to Disney for a day and a half. We went on New Year's Eve after the press conference, and then we went again on January 2nd, and nothing beats that, honestly. That completely made it, getting to go to Galaxy's Edge, we basically did everything but Magic Kingdom, Avatar, Flight of Passage, all that stuff. I also got to go to Universal with the team, which was awesome. We got to go on a couple of different rides with the defensive line. So that was an absolute blast. I just remember going on Hulk and sitting next to Filipaia. And I knew, I had never ridden the Hulk, but I knew what was going to happen on it. I knew that it was a launch coaster. And I knew that none of the other guys knew that except for one person. I can't remember which one it was. And, I just remember, like, I was looking over at him to see his reaction and just hearing the screams ahead of me. Then we went on King Kong, and I sat next to Carlo Kemp and Quiddy Pay, and it was mostly the Carlo pretending like it was way scarier than it was, and Quiddy was all like, yeah, that wasn't really much of anything. It was just fun because obviously you're also waiting in the queue with them, getting to know them. I had a really good conversation with Mike Dana, who I had never really had. You know, a lot of these guys I get to talk to during the recruiting process. I did not get to do that with Mike Dana. So getting to know a little bit more about him, so it makes it that much cooler that he's thriving. But the one the year before was the one that put on the best, and it was the one that I was the least excited about going to out of all of them because that was like, oh, we're going to see Florida again, and it's in Atlanta. Like, I grew up going to Atlanta, spending my summers there, but it's like Atlanta in the wintertime. You know, temperature's going to be like topping out at like 50 degrees. Wasn't really like, you know, usually you go to a bowl game, it's like nice and warm and it's awesome. And it's like, oh, I'm going to Atlanta. It's not the same. I'm telling you what, those the people from the Peach Bowl put on a world-class event. It makes every other bowl game I've gone to look like child's play as far as the amount of things that they have going on. Get to go to the College Football Hall of Fame, which was it was absolutely incredible. And walking around there with the team just as they're checking stuff out. But not just the team, the coaches. And then they had the competition at the end. Getting to see them take in, you know, the part of the history of the sport they're in. It was really cool. I wish I would have had more time to actually look at the exhibits, because I was more taking pictures of the guys there and trying to document what was going on so that I could, write about it afterwards. But you had the go-kart racing and as well as arcade the day before. Now, they had that type of thing at the Citrus Bowl, because the Citrus Bowl, they had an arcade day. They had not only Universal, but the Fun Park USA, which was like a rinky-dink little amusement park. Anyway, just the level of class that the Chick-fil-A people, they just made it insanely good. Plus, you got Chick-fil-A every day, but the camaraderie that I felt like a lot of us weren't, like, you know, I obviously got along with, I get along with most everybody on the beat, but bridging some gaps, you know, between some other people, you know, like, just found everyone was hanging out in the hospitality suite as far as media is concerned. The game became like secondary, and that's usually how it is for me. Like, when you go to these things, it's the game is the thing that I'm personally thinking about the least, because these guys have so many activities that they get to do. Outback Bowl didn't have as many. That was in Tampa. That was against South Carolina. The most notable thing from that was the near brawl that broke out between the teams at the Splitsville Bowling. Who thought it was a good idea to bring two full teams into a tight bowling alley and have them compete without any kind of barrier is beyond me. It got scary for a moment. Best part of that to me, that whole bowl game, was that I just happened to befriend Jonathan Vaughn, former Michigan running back, because I was always going to the cigar shop to work. And one day I'm sitting there with my credential. It was like the second day in town. And he looks at me and says, "What team you here for?" And I was like, "Do I have to answer?" And I said, "Michigan." He's like, "Okay, good. I played for Michigan." And so we ended up hanging out all week. My first bowl game was the Orange Bowl. And now looking back at just based off of what the Peach Bowl put on, the Orange Bowl really relies on the fact that it's in Miami to make it to kind of make it what it is. Now, Harbaugh didn't let them go to do a lot of stuff, right? Like, they didn't have their beach day. They didn't have a lot of those types of things. So maybe that was part of it. Like, yeah, they went and got dinner in South Beach and, you know, some stuff like that. But they just didn't seem like the activity levels were really there, right? It seemed like, okay, we'd go to practice. We would go to, you know, to press conference and that's it. Didn't seem like there was really much. They kind of let Miami be the star of the show. So to recap, my favorite so far has been the Peach Bowl, even though that 2 years ago today I was alone on Christmas, because the game being on December 29th, I believe it was, or whatever it was, we had to get there. Not everyone got there then, but in order to be there for every event, I got there on December 23rd. So Christmas alone wasn't great, but nonetheless, they're great experiences. I'm sad that I won't be at one, and I'm sad that the players won't get to experience it, because it is just such a fun event. And again, the best being the Peach Bowl, just the camaraderie. Like, I just remember hearing other reporters after the fact that didn't go complain about the fact that we were all still talking about it like 5-6 months later because they weren't there. That's how great it was. It brought everybody together. All right, that might not have been interesting, but That's what I got. I don't think I have anything that's like, wow, you should. I mean, the closest thing to it is Universal. And the only thing that I have is like, wow, is something I certainly can't. Oh, and this is a never will tell anybody story. But anyway, that'll do it for us. I'm going to try to have another show tomorrow on Saturday. We'll see if that happens. I'm not sure, but going to try to make up for the days that we missed. We'll probably try to talk a little bit of basketball if that does happen, if I'm not too obligated with other things. But that is the plan. All right, thanks for listening. Hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. Appreciate you. Peace.